First, there was the collapse of civilization. Anarchy. Genocide. Starvation. Then when it seemed things couldn't get any worse, we got the plague. The living death, quickly closing its fist over the entire planet. And then we heard the rumors that the last scientists were working on a cure that would end the plague and restore the world. Restore it? Why? I like the death. I like the misery. I like this world!
What's up, guys? It's Ben.
And Sarah.
And it's a very spooky episode we've got prepared for you tonight on...
What's in the box?
Yeah, so I was wondering, are you in spooky mood?
I actually scared myself on the way to the show tonight. I haven't really been in the spookiest mood all month. I October came around and I expected that I would just be railing out horror films, but I've actually watched more concerts this month than, I care to admit.
And honestly, I did the 31 Days of Horror Challenge.
Oh, that's right. I remember when you did that.
And that's the basis for our game today.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I love how you got little games,
I got games. I got games on games.
Tell me a little bit about this 31 Days of Horror thing you did last year.
So last year, I committed to watching 31 horror movies in the 31 days of October.
Okay.
I was born in October. You were born in October.
Also true.
So I love Halloween, favorite holiday. Last year, I finally committed to doing the 31 Days of Horror Challenge.
Okay.
And there were some classics, and there were some absolute stinkers. Yeah. In fact, I signed up for a Shudder month trial to get access to things I would otherwise not see.
Some of them
were great.
Oh, really?
Some not so much.
Like some pleasant surprises?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's always good when you throw on a random movie and it ends up entertaining you.
Sure. And I will say Shudder does have some nice curated lists.
Okay.
If you're looking for something, they have a really good giallo list.
Okay.
And there's some other ones.
Shudder deserves another look.
No ad. So we have a game called Eerily Similar.
I like that.
Where I'm pulling movies from my 31 Days of Horror Challenge from last year that coincidentally we have very similar ratings and reviews on. There are a couple of exceptions. There are a couple in here that you have neither rated nor reviewed, and or we'll get there.
Okay.
All right. But the first one, Chef's Kiss, we watched it together. It's timeless. It's Black Christmas.
A masterpiece.
Absolutely.
Black Christmas.
I had never heard of it until you brought it to my attention.
Yeah.
And yet, my review. Damn it, I love this movie, but the last 3 minutes are infuriating. Right? 4.5 stars. Your review. The OG. Bumping this up to 5 stars where it belongs. Stone cold classic. Knife emoji. Christmas tree emoji. 5 stars.
I will say again, when I was blowing through and rating a bunch of films on my, when I made the account, it was probably rated way lower than it was. But when you really look at the genesis of a lot of slasher movies, never mind the fact that the setting is at Christmas time, music themed Christmas carolers and all that kind of stuff
going
on.
Kind of irrelevant.
If you go back and you look at the DNA of the slasher film, at least in the United States, which is crazy because this is a Canadian film. if you look at the history of horror films, at least released by Warner Brothers, this is kind of like a cornerstone where things everybody's pulling from this movie. And it's such a fun movie, word of mouth to recommend to people, because it gives, you can watch it once a year. The cinematography is amazing. The music is amazing. And really the acting is amazing. Everything in the editing, come on now. This is basically a flawless movie.
Margot Kidder is a fucking badass in this movie.
Agreed.
She is standing up against that fucking pervert. And yet she does get killed.
I really like how this movie really is the proto Halloween. It's post Psycho, obviously, but it's like proto Halloween, and it's proto When a Stranger Calls, and it's just like this movie did everything kind of first, and everybody cannibalizes the style of this movie. Like, it's just wild.
Do you think that's intentional? Like, do you think all of those, like, Halloween, Friday the 13th, they were aware of that movie?
100%, because you got to realize that I think this film was shot for TV or made for TV, but it got a theatrical release. A lot of people would watch this movie on cable television.
Mm-hmm.
And in a world with no internet, if you're into horror movies, you're checking out this season's greetings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
You want to see what's around the corner. What kind of schlop they putting into movies, man? And Black Christmas probably struck. I've actually heard filmmakers who are notable for producing some popular slasher movies go back and say, yeah, but that Black Christmas, though, holy shit. You seen that one? You know, and someone's like, yeah, man, I taped it off HBO or some shit. Yeah.
Credit where credit is due. Absolutely. So our 4.5 and 5-star ratings, eerily similar.
They are eerily
are
similar.
Definitely warranted. Now, I didn't recognize Olivia Hussey
in this movie. Young Olivia.
Right. Now, a lot of millennials might be shocked to remember that she was in the Romeo and Juliet movie that we were all forced to watch high school.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They wheeled in the fucking
CRT on the car.
Exactly. And there it was.
Titties in the classroom.
The Zeffirelli Romeo and Juliet starring Olivia Hussey and some dude. But here's the fun fact, though. Olivia Hussey was told by a psychic that she would make a Canadian film that would be super profitable. The director of Black Christmas wanted high-end actors, and Hussey had just done the Zeffirelli Romeo and Juliet, so she took the role in Black Christmas because of what the psychic told her.
Oh, okay, so she got the lead, huh?
So she got the lead.
Very cool, actually. Now, I haven't seen Romeo and Juliet since, like, 6th grade English class.
Sixth grade? Jesus.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in
It in, like, 10th.
Yeah, maybe I saw it in 10th. Those years kind of blur together, but you know what I mean. It was definitely an English class, but I do watch Black Christmas frequently, and this received a 4K restoration not too long ago and was put out by Kino Lorber on UHD Blu-ray, and if you have the means, you must put eyes on this beautiful transfer of Black Christmas. It doesn't get any better than that. Anyways.
Okay. Well, really quickly, at the end of Black Christmas, that I watched specifically in advance of this episode, when the killer comes into the house in the last 3 infuriating minutes that I mentioned, he says, "It's me, Billy." He doesn't say, "It's me, Billy." There's a difference. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think that's anything, or am I making shit up?
I know that there's like multiple bullet points of every horror movie that you could choose and go down a deep, dark, you know, dive into what certain lines mean. But
is that what I'm doing?
I chose to not give a fuck what the crazy guy was saying, at least in Black Christmas. You know, it's me, Billy. You know what I mean? He should have said something funnier.
So you don't care about the incident. Do you know anything about the sequel?
No, you can tell me about that.
Well, I don't know a whole lot, but the sequel is apparently actually, I think, a prequel.
Interesting. I know it was remade in the 2000s.
It's not great. Like, there's some stuff about, like, he has a half-sister daughter situation.
Already know. Already
dumb. No. I'm not sure it's worth looking into, but it is there. So how fun is that fact? Does it deserve a point or no? Olivia Hussey, psychic, Black Christmas.
Definitely deserves a point. That was a killer factoid. Right.
The next movie in our 31 Days of Horror Challenge, Halloween Extravaganza, Ravenous.
Okay.
Which I know for a fucking fact you have watched because I made you watch it.
So I've seen 10 minutes of this movie, you're right.
10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't watch the whole thing?
I'd like to, but haven't gotten around to it. You know.
Damn, I guess that's why you didn't rate or review it.
Just to piss you off, I was like, let me not watch Ravenous, because every time you bring it up, I'm like, I haven't seen it. If there's one movie that's getting that treatment, it's Ravenous, but I will watch it. 2024, it will be watched.
I don't understand.
This month, it will be watched.
Okay. Well, here's my review. a slightly campy 1800s military cannibalism film that's probably a metaphor for something, with music by the guy from Blur, 4 stars. Now, why would you not want to watch that movie?
I will see it soon. But since I haven't seen it, I guess the point will go to you for most interesting review. Ha ha, ha 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 ha. But also, no. I have to ask you, why do you like this movie so much?
It's a very interesting premise. It's dealing with the concept of a Wendigo, which is a very misunderstood and not very...
creepy.
It's not very often represented in horror.
Okay.
The idea of you consume someone else's blood and then you kind of absorb their power and it makes you more powerful. And then along with that, it presents the moral dilemma. There is one character who embrace, or there's multiple characters who embrace that and are saying, we're going to eat people and be fucking gods. And there's another character who is pushing back. He's like, I really feel the urge to do this, but I'm not going to because it's wrong.
Okay.
So it's got the horror element. There's a lot of humor. It's very campy.
You said it has good music?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the guy from Blur. Damon Albarn, who may still be alive.
Okay.
And then it takes off from there.
So when did you first see this movie?
Man, I think I picked it up from a video store, like a late stage video store.
Okay. Just based off the cast, maybe? Somebody recommended it to you?
Or the cover art. Or maybe it was like it was probably in the dollar bin, honestly. It was probably like in those DVD dollar bins where you just grab something.
Yeah.
That was probably where it was.
Cool. Yeah.
But this is kind of fun. Several lines of dialogue from the film are sampled in the 2015 album Mountain Jumper by the German dance electronic artist Dunkelbunt.
That is very interesting. Yes, yes, yes.
And I looked it up on YouTube. I kind of scanned through it. The music is actually pretty good.
Okay, cool.
Is that a fun fact or no?
Yes, actually, it was kind of fun to say Dunkelbunt on the show. So yeah, it gets a point. All right, what's next? What you got for me?
So this next one, we saw it at the Plaza, Willy's Wonderland.
Ooh, okay, okay. Underrated.
But you have only rated this movie. No review. So we're going to rectify that tonight. So my review. So I have one from my most recent viewing, and then I have one from my original watch. Same rating, 3.5 stars. My original review. Awesomely bad. I can't wait to see Five Nights at Freddy's. Completely miss the mark. 3.5
That was your review of Willy's Wonderland?
Yeah. Because like I knew it was going to, and spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Okay. So.
But my most recent viewing, I said, imagine living in a timeline where we get to see Nick Cage urinal stomp a possessed animatronic gorilla.
That's really what that movie's all about.
Now, you also rated this movie 3.5 stars, but you have no review, so...
Let's see. Willy's Wonderland is like, was it a comic book first?
I stayed on it, got them as soon as they came out. I have all of them, but I think they came after.
This movie, you have to take it at face value. Like, it's not trying to reinvent the wheel. However, it is trying to do one very specific thing really well. It's trying to show Nick Cage beating animatronics up. and that's what this movie sets out to accomplish, and that's what it does. You have to wait to the second act for, obviously, it to get good. But once they're locked inside Willy's Wonderland and the animatronics start coming alive, it's basically a hilarious movie to watch with your mates. Well, an interesting thing about this movie is that it beat it, you know, in terms of just like sheer awesomeness. Like, this is the Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
But it also beat it to the punch. Like, do you have any knowledge of
it's just people have been clamoring for that type of movie.
My biggest beef is how bad the acting is for mostly everyone. Honestly, Nick Cage probably has the best acting in this film, despite saying absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that is true. He's an awesome character.
But the acting is so, it almost looks intentionally stereotypical.
Okay.
It was super fun to see at the Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really
with a crowd. It's like a horror comedy that you want to see with a crowd or your friends.
It is, yeah. But I honestly don't remember how the crowd reacted.
Yeah, I think we were in shock.
I don't remember them being super into it. But there are some fun facts.
Okay.
The first one is, I think, pretty fun. So the look of the crocodile animatronic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember the one you're talking about.
It was inspired by a Soviet cartoon.
Okay, interesting.
The name of the cartoon is Gina the Crocodile, and it's from 1969. So I looked it up, and I found a picture, which I'm going to put on the Instagram, which the picture I found is like a 3D render. So the cartoons I found on YouTube, like, it's these stop motion musical numbers, and it kind of gives me Gorgo Bordello vibes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like, it's kind of like the gypsy punk kind of sound to it, which is weird because it's from 1969. But I have another fun fact. The director, Kevin Lewis, credits Panos Cosmatos, Beyond the Black Rainbow, as an inspiration for him. Panos worked with Nicolas Cage on the film Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that you know about Beyond the Black Rainbow. I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give any kind of
It's just
raw,
an amazing, trippy
comparison?
Time. It's just a trippy-ass movie that you got to watch in the dark.
How might that inspire Willy's Wonderland?
They just took a wild concept and really amplified it to, you know, midnight movie scary hours.
So you think the inspiration is just like taking an idea and running with it in the most extreme way?
Yeah, just whatever your movie is about, that's what it's about.
So what do you think? How fun is my fact about the Soviet crocodile?
Yes, it gets a point for being very cool. I appreciate you doing the research and also telling everybody where they can find this extremely obscure inspiration for the
It's very cute.
For the character in Willy's Wonderland.
It's actually super cute. Yeah.
So what else you got?
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, no.
We have the same rating. My review. There are a lot of problems here, but I need to know how they explained the dead aunt in the living room.
Unexplained.
Because they just fucking kill the aunt. They're just a fucking dead lady.
Yeah, in the living room. They forget it.
Life goes on.
Yeah, someone's going to have to deal with that, like the police or whatever, but not during the movie. Not while the movie's going on.
Now, that's a honestly, that's a common problem in horror movies. Even like if there's a final girl situation, why are they not going to think it's her? Whole bunch of dead bodies. You're the last one standing. A little sus.
It's a very bad trope anyway. Yeah.
And your review is rated PG-13.
Yeah.
We both gave 2 stars.
Mm-hmm. That's how I felt, you know, and like honestly with the fan base being like the average age of the fan base of Five Nights at Freddy's, it makes sense that they colored in the lines for their Five Nights at Freddy's adaptation.
Mm.
They didn't take into account all the Rule 34 and furry fandom that surrounds this IP. They definitely went with like, you can take your 9-year-old to it. Oh, they like Five Nights at Freddy's on the iPad? Well, guess what? You just sold 3 tickets while you and you're bringing your 2 kids. You know what I mean? It made all the money because everybody had to see it. But I mean, like, that's like taking one of the most influential meme properties on the internet and just making a feature film out of it. You've kicked the hornet's nest of the internet, and everybody's just going to jump on that movie. And everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it gave everybody what you wanted. It gave the haters stuff to hate on, and it gave the fans stuff to really like pick apart. So it kind of, you know, I think it got a green sequel greenlit, you know, like
for real.
That movie is you know, it was mid, but you know what, we smoked mid.
No, mid is viable. Mid can go on. And I loved seeing Matthew Lillard. Anytime he wants to come back, we're gonna be here for him. That's fine.
I'm so tired of movies.
So here's the fun fact. Unlike most studios that use CGI to bring creatures to life, Jim Henson's Creature Shop was responsible for the Fazbear animatronics.
As they should be.
Did you know that? Damn.
They literally have a blank check for that movie. So why don't you? That's like going to Stan Winston's prop house to get some stuff done. That's like going to like an old school cinema institution. Like, oh, we're just going to go get the best of the best to make these animatronics.
Yeah.
Because they keep emailing us saying, please let us do your animatronics for this movie. We're like creeped out Five Nights at Freddy's fans. Tell me that the employees, like the animators, like the puppeteers who work at Jim Henson right now in post 2020, you can tell me they're not furries and I won't believe you. They got to be around that puppet shit. But anyway, no,
not surprising, not fun. Damn, no point.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
No point. Let's not.
I'd rather let Freddy finger blast me than have to watch that movie again.
Got two more. We can make it quick. We need a lot because this is a special. This is the Halloween extravaganza. The next one. You know it. You love it. The Craft.
That's a real witch movie that you like.
I saw that movie for the first time in 8th grade. And I had a little group of 4 friends. And we became We got called to the principal's office because we got too witchy with it.
At school?
Yeah, in the fucking Bible Belt of Louisiana, they could not take it. Mm. Yeah, it was controversy. So I've reviewed this movie a couple times. I've never changed my rating, but my most recent review is I watched it tonight with my 12-year-old, and she said Skeet isn't cute, so I'm putting her up for adoption.
Okay. Skeet Ulrich.
Skeet Ulrich.
Zaddy Skeet.
Yeah. He still looks good. Have you seen him lately?
I only look at his profile every day. Psych.
4.5 stars. And then your review, watch this one with Sarah on VHS. Good experience. 4 stars. So I have 4.5. You have 4. Similar reviews. Now, I could talk about this movie almost as long as I could talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but nobody wants that. So do you have anything to say here?
Good movie. I recently got a 4K restoration, so future witches can go about being exposed to a classic of the genre. I think one of the first things you told me when we met is that you liked The Craft, and so I made a mental note, like a flag. And I was like, okay, if I see it, I'm going to pick it up. And sure enough, there was The Craft on VHS at a yard sale for like $1. I picked it up, and Sarah and I had a little retro movie night, popped into VHS, fast-forwarded fast to previews. We had a little popcorn, adjusted the tracking right, get the surround sound popping. You already know, we CRT'd up. Then the movie, we watched it, and afterwards, I was like, suddenly I understood where Sarah was coming from. It wasn't like I watched a pristine DVD copy or the 4K resto. We watched it through blurry VHS shit vision, just like she did all those years ago. And it really, you know, it was a great experience, like I said in the review, because the CGI and things, the special effects, they wouldn't hold up if you weren't looking at it through like a fuzzy analog glow. And so like I could see how watching that movie as a young impressionable person would easily make you think like, okay, we finna kill some rodents tonight. And try and make their corpses levitate in my bedroom.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the rodents. Hold that for the fun fact. But yeah, as like a young, disaffected Catholic girl, I really related to a lot of what was going on in that movie. I think a lot of people in my generation did. And
Neve Campbell.
Neve Campbell was one of the main characters, but she wasn't the focus of the film.
Right.
The focus was Robin Tunney and Firouza Balk. And I actually when I was younger, I was going to name my daughter Firouza. That's how much I loved that movie. I was 12, okay? Which her name, they named her that because it means blue or something, and her eyes are blue, whatever. But I loved that movie so much. I related with it so much. I had my little quote unquote coven, and we got into all of it, and we had some conflict, and I actually went to a Catholic school, so I could relate to what was going on.
Yeah.
But there was magic to it. There was drama. It was so quintessentially 90s with it.
Agreed.
Let's talk about some fun facts. All right. Here's one that probably a lot of people know. Robin Tunney was pretty much bald when they started filming The Craft, so she had to wear a wig.
Uh-huh.
And the reason she was bald is because she had just gotten done filming Empire Records.
Okay.
Where she famously shaved her head in the bathroom.
Oh, so she was busy that summer. She shot both these movies back to back, huh?
I guess so.
Interesting.
Which I also love Empire Records. Maybe we'll talk about it one day. But a more fun fact, the snakes and bugs were real.
That's gotta be so gross.
There were around 2,000 snakes.
Why did it have to be snakes?
2,000 snakes.
Oh, that's just
these
my
motherfucking snakes. In the climax of the film where like Nancy's doing the spell and Sarah's freaking out. Yeah. She's like, no!
Yeah.
Those were fucking real snakes. Oh. I did not know that until 3 days ago.
And that's just my pet Reggie. Yeah, I mean, some people can handle it around being snakes.
2,000 snakes?
It's a little creepy when you think about it, because those are not yo snakes, and them snakes don't know you.
Exactly.
And you're supposed to be working with them snakes? Ew.
So, like, and there's one shot where, like, the snakes are crawling on her feet, and she kicks them off and runs.
Were those her feet in the shot?
Well, now that you ask, that's probably a stunt double, but it was somebody's feet. Somebody had all them fucking snakes.
Freaky little snake likers out here.
Which, honestly, I don't know what the...
Say that again, which honestly?
Honestly, I don't know what the special effects capabilities would have been back then.
They weren't very, I mean...
Because they look like real snakes.
They probably are real snakes.
They are real snakes, but, like, I didn't think they were real snakes.
movie magic.
I'm just saying, what other option would there have been? And in my child brain, it didn't occur to me that those were real snakes.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
Sarah just went full the craft on me. You never go full the craft.
I know.
So we got one more, right?
Hereditary.
Hereditary. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Hereditary.
Oh, shit.
Okay. My review, this is why I don't fuck with addicts. And I don't fuck with addicts. I don't go up there. I'll send you up there. I'll send my mother up there. I'm not going up there.
Okay.
4 stars. Your review, way better on a second watch. The surround sound mix, which was absent on my first viewing, made all the difference in the spook factor. A sound bar just ain't gonna cut it with this one. Also, 4 stars.
Yeah, I watched this on a flat screen at the warehouse, probably when it came out on video, and I liked it, but I definitely didn't have the mix set up.
Mm.
So there's a lot of stuff going on in the rear surrounds of that movie to give it just raw atmosphere. And I have to say that knowing what happens in the film on your second viewing, you know, you're watching the film, but when you got that surround mix popping, it's like a whole different experience. You're like, oh, wow, there's actually like audible clues to what you should be paying attention to in the frame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that movie is really aided along by its sound mix. And so, I feel bad for anybody watching that on like a cell phone or on a plane or something like that. Like, it's just not going to hit the same. But yeah, classic movie, solid entry into the possession genre. And I mean, Ari Aster, he's like their freaking A24. He's like the A24 golden boy.
One of my fun ... facts was mentioning strange thing about the Johnsons. We don't have to go there.
That movie's very creepy. And don't look it up.
But
it's something that this guy did before he made it big.
Are we just going to say it and leave it at that?
Yeah.
Like, leave it in there?
Final answer.
Okay. All right. Toni Collette is amazing. She has all of the emotions and then some.
She's got range.
It's incredible. And I keep forgetting all the movies that she's in. Like when she pops up on the Movie Grid game that I play, there's a daily game called moviegrid.io. And when she pops up on there, I keep remembering everything she's in. Like she was in The Sixth Sense.
Mm-hmm.
How do I forget that? She was great in that.
I don't know. Sarah chooses things to forget, and that's one of them.
No, I think it's because her performances are very powerful, but very organic. So it doesn't like occur to me to remember that's Toni Collette.
Uh-huh.
It's that she's embodying the character that she's playing.
Okay.
So I don't make a mental note to remember who the actress is.
Right. Like you don't think about the mom in Hereditary. You don't think about the mom in Little Miss Sunshine. You don't think about the mom in The Sixth Sense.
Oh, wow. I do have a fun fact. Well, it's not really very fun, but I have a fact, some trivia about Hereditary.
Oh, okay.
All right. Alex Wolff, the son.
Mm-hmm.
He offered to break his own nose.
For the movie?
Yeah.
That's dedication.
He not only shot the creepy desk scene without a stunt double, but he offered to slam his face into a real solid desk. Now, I don't know if they actually allowed him to do that, but he didn't have a stunt double, so he was actually hitting his fucking face.
Wow.
On that desk.
Mans was going for the gold.
I mean, that's commitment.
I like that actor. He's got a bright future ahead of him.
What else has he been in?
He should be in more movies where he gets to smash his face on stuff.
What do you think? Is that a fun fact?
Yeah, it's a fun fact.
That's
I mean, Mans is really going for it.
Alex Wolff fucking his face up.
He's trying to separate himself from the pack.
Yeah.
Let's see Brad Pitt do that.
He said from the pack because his name's Wolf. Get it?
Bars.
Nice. I have one more. It's a bonus because you have not seen it.
Yet.
You shouldn't. No one should. It's not good.
Ooh, a warning.
Yeah. So this next little segment is a cautionary tale. The movie is called Slacks.
Oh, okay. This is the movie about the pants, right?
I warned you. Yeah, it's about pants.
Let me get a plot and a setting.
So, well, first, let me give you my review. It's everything you'd expect from a movie about killer pants. Like, literally homicidal. Not like, oh, those are killer pants, bro. 3 stars. So ultimately, the setting of the movie, they're all in a retail store. It's like an H&M or a Gap or some shit. It's closing time. They're locking it down. But they're all staying on because they're setting up for this big product release the next day.
Okay.
Okay. The feature of this new product release are these jeans. And I'm going to say right now, here come spoilers. These jeans are possessed by the spirit of a young woman in a foreign country who fell into a thresher while collecting cotton for this company. And now her vengeful spirit lives in the pants. And so it's one of those things where it kind of reminds me even of Willy's Wonderland or like Terrifier 2. I'm sure there are better examples, but where there's only one person who has any idea what's going on, mm-hmm. or any kind of logical brain. Like, they're the only person that we know from minute one is going to survive. And like, at one point, there's someone on the staff in the store that can speak Hindi. So they try to like talk to the pants to make them feel better. But then the pants kill them.
Mm-hmm.
There's like an influencer that's coming into the store to shoot a feature.
Mm-hmm.
And they get strangled by the pants.
Awesome.
Which has not happened any other time in this movie. Like, throughout the rest of the movie, you have to like put the pants on to die. Now all of a sudden the pants can just wrap themselves around you. And then at the end of it, right as the store is about to open, now it's an army of pants. And everybody's like clamoring at the door like, oh, we want the pants. And then they let them in and everyone gets slaughtered.
Interesting. Okay.
It's not interesting.
Well, so here's the thing about comedy, right? Comedy, like, people who want to watch a movie and enjoy a comedy, they might choose Slacks because it might be like in the vein of a horror movie, but it's like nobody's going to watch that and intentionally get so scared that they're not going to wear pants again the next day, right? You have to say that it's a comedy first because it's going to be for the slasher audience, but it's like, sure, something that people from, you know, how do we watch a horror film tonight that's not mean-spirited but it also works as a comedy, you know, for a mixed audience, right? And I think you throw Slacks on, you take a couple shots, you're at the function. You know, you're on some homie's couch, you get Slacks is on, whatever. It's that type of movie.
Yeah. Well, it does have nice colors, like the way it's shot. But would you be surprised to learn that this movie has a 96% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes?
Not until you told me that. I don't know. You were making it sound like this movie's been lost to the sands of time, but that's kind of a high rating for Rotten Tomatoes, wouldn't you say?
I agree.
Is that how you found out about this movie?
No. Ebert rates it 3.5 out of 5.
Roger Ebert saw this movie?
Well, I mean, he's dead, but...
See, somebody who blogs for his website saw
exactly,
this movie.
Yeah,
oh my
and rated
God.
It 3.5 out of 5. And most of the reviews are either puns about textiles, like jeans jokes, or you guys just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 96% for a movie about pants that kill people.
Sounds like a good time at the movies to
me.
I
guess maybe I don't know. I thought it was dumb.
Were the reviews positive from the comedy angle? Like, the comedy is absurd. Like, this is the kind of stuff you would shriek at in a horror picture. But
no, they weren't mentioning that. But the fact, like I said, like a lot of the reviews were punny or saying like you didn't get it.
I'm sufficiently scared. This has been really fun.
I got five check marks on my paper and 7 movies. So that's 5 out of 7. Fun facts.
Well, thank you for planning this episode tonight. I had a lot of fun taping it with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thanks, Sarah, for having me on.
Thanks, man.
And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.